Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:23 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 19th. I'm recording a little early today because I've got some obligations this afternoon, but I thought that the fact that Amazon got up to the 2 trillion market cap value today and wasn't quite able to hold it, it didn't pull back by very much either though, is a further indication that investors are still a little reticent to just push on to new highs and to surmount these big psychological levels. We have a lot of evidence of markets that are in the region of big psychological levels right now. Tesla was also in positive territory today, but not quite as high as it was yesterday, and pausing again below this psychological 2000 level. It's a natural area for consolidation, and Tesla has had a history of pausing around big round numbers. We can see evidence of support at 500, resistance at 1,000, resistance at 1,500. It's quite natural that we would anticipate that there might be some resistance around 2,000. Amazon has also continued to pause here in the region of its peak, but it wasn't down by very much in here today, and yesterday's upper dynamic was certainly sustained, and that was a new closing high yesterday. When we then think about the stock market, the S&P 500 has hit a new all-time high, but still pausing around this 3,400 point level. So there is definitely evidence of investors being reticent to simply surge directly on and into new high ground for the broader market. Even the NASDAQ was in mildly negative territory in here today. Now, on the other hand, where we have certainly seen some enthusiasm is in industrial resources. Copper prices have popped straight through the $3 level to complete this 6-week range. But the most important thing is that it has now clearly broken the downtrend. There was a clear pattern of underperformance from early 2018 that has now been completed. We're back on a recovery trajectory. This is equally true of the broad industrial resources sector. The LME Metals Index has also broken its downtrend and is now coming back up towards that 3,000 level. Then, if we even go further wide on the commodities complex, the continuous commodity index is back above 400. You can also see that 400 was an area of support, give or take, between approximately the end of 2015, and the beginning of this year. Now the complete decline has been reversed and prices continue to march higher. Oil prices have also been somewhat steadier over the last while, but there is a range for the last few days. It's right in the region of the trend mean, but there is the scope here for some additional upside. Natural gas prices had bounced from the lower side of their lengthy range, and it does also, and I think, look like this trend has been broken on the downside. So there is ample potential for additional upside from natural gas as well. If we think about copper, it's often been viewed as Dr. Copper. And that was always thought of as the global economy. I think it might probably now be more correct to think of it as a reflection of activity in the Chinese economy, because China is such a big consumer of all industrial resources. What I also found interesting about the Baltic Dry Index is that it has steadied in the region of 2000. It is another one of the very small number of indicators that did come all the way back down to the levels that prevailed before the big bull market in commodities in the early 2000s. Now, there is the scope that it could pop on the upside. We've had a number of ships being decommissioned because of the pollution rules that came into effect in 2020. That, I think, has been ignored to a certain extent by investors because of the massive collapse that we've seen in terms of global trade. But I think what commodities are now beginning to indicate is that we've had a period of synchronized global economic contraction in the first half of 2020. Central banks and governments the world over have been falling over themselves to print money, and with the result that we're likely to move into a period of synchronized global economic expansion next year. So that's potentially now what the commodity complex is beginning to price in. It's certainly evident in the industrial resources. Oil prices are at least steady around the $40 area, and now we're starting to see that the Baltic Dry Index has also been steadying here at the upper side of the range that's persisted for most of the last decade. If that were to pop on the upside, well, then that would be suggestive of greater activity, but also a supply inelasticity meets rising demand environment for global ships. And there are very few people building ships at the present moment because of the hiatus in global economic activity and also in industrial activity in many countries. So then when we think about interest rates, well, if we're going to move back into a period of global economic expansion, or certainly that there's the potential at least for that, well, it's natural that we might anticipate that yields should rise. And the 10-year yield has steadied here in here today. When we look at the UK yield, I thought this was an interesting chart. It's the 7-year chart because it was in mildly negative territory for a few weeks. But it has now rebounded and it's broken the downward trend since that peak in March and clearly finding support and in fact putting in a small upside key reversal in here today. Now, if we see upside follow through tomorrow, then that would suggest that a peak of near-term significance has been reached in the gilt markets. We know for certain that the Bank of England is looking to be a bit more enthused about global economic activity and the outlook for growth in the UK. HSBC has been saying not to be so enthused, but it really comes down to the reliance of the banking sector and the economy for on the additional infusions of liquidity. And that is a significant question, because if the economy does pick up, then how well can governments tolerate a rise in interest expense when the quantity of debt that has been taken out has exploded on the upside? This, I think, is one of the big questions, because the Federal Reserve has clearly stated that they are not engaged in yield curve control. But if we simply look at the yield curve, it bears all the characteristics of yield curve control. The spread has gone nowhere since March. Anytime it has popped to the upper side of this range, around 70 basis points, it has been beaten back down. And that is likely to persist because the US federal government is not in a position to pay the kind of debt that it has taken off in the short term. They need to see economic activity really pick up on a sustained basis before they can even begin to think about making payments on debt that could potentially be refinanced at higher levels. The entire bull market in debt has been predicated on being able to refinance debt at lower levels for the last 40 years. Now we're at a point where we're at zero interest rates already, and the quantity of debt is extraordinary. So are we now then in a condition where yield curve control is not simply going to be a US phenomenon, but a global phenomenon? When we then think about the Japanese 10-year, where they've been engaged in yield curve control for years already, well, they've been defending the 10 basis point level, and now it looks increasingly like, especially over the last 4 months, that they're defending the 5 basis point level. Well, now the question then also turns to currencies. The dollar was a little steadier in here today. There is no tolerance internationally for currencies to continue to rally against the dollar in an unchecked manner. And the euro pulled back from the 120 area here, so we are likely to have some additional consolidation. There was a risk that we were going to get some intervention or some reticence around the 120 area, but I think this is quite clear. that we've had big moves in a whole range of markets, whether it is currencies, commodities, or in the stock market. When we then think about the gold price, it was also in positive territory in here today and down nearly $60. So that has capped the rebound from the low last week. And now the big question is whether that $1,900 area will continue to offer support. Just in the space of the last week, the 200-day moving average has continued to rise. It will also continue to rise over subsequent weeks. That is allowing the overextension to be unwound in a reasonable manner. I continue to think that the more important level than $1,900 is $1,800. It was a meaningful area of resistance in 2011 and 12. By the time the price gets there, it will likely coincide with the 200-day moving average, and then it would likely be an area where it would be appropriate to start initiating new positions. We've had a spectacular move on the upside. There was a clear tendency to think that it would last forever. Anyone who's traded gold, or indeed any of the commodities, or indeed any asset class, over the course of the last number of decades will know that nothing goes up indefinitely, and that periods of consolidation do evolve. That has to be at the forefront of thinking when we look at some of the extraordinary uptrends we've had in the e-commerce sector. Etsy, for example, has rallied from about $30 to $140. Mercado Libre, which is the Latin American equivalent of Amazon, has gone from $400 to $1,200, and it did have a bit of a pullback last week. That's a very large downside queue reversal in July, and another large downside queue reversal in August. These shots across the bow suggest that there is imminent danger of a reversion back towards the mean. Of course, Amazon has been very resilient and continues to hold the move above 3,000, but it is worth considering that it paused at 1,000, it paused at 1,500, then 2,000, and then it just cruised through to 3,000. We are certainly due some consolidation. And I think that that is probably the smart bet, that rather than chasing markets, it's more likely that we are going to have at least some consolidation. Silver prices were also in negative territory in here today, and there is the potential that we could see some additional consolidation coming through in here as well. We still have these very wide overextensions relative to the trend mean. We've had an explosive breakout. It's unlikely we're going to see prices come back below 20. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a deep consolidation. And it is likely that we're going to have a somewhat more choppy environment overall. And that's normal. It's really quite normal to anticipate that following the first big downward dynamic, that we do get a period of backing and filling, that we get some ranges forming, that the breakout holds, and that sets up for the next big break on the upside. Then when we think about other stock markets, we can see that some of the best performers are pausing in the region of their peaks. Then we have other markets, particularly in Europe, which have rebounded admirably off the lows in March, but are now at pausing in the region of the trend mean and the lower side of the overhead trading ranges. That's particularly true of the FTSE 250. When we look at, for example, the Eurostox index, which is the big cap index for the Eurozone, it has pushed up into the overhead trading range, but it's still pausing in the region of the trend mean. The Nikkei is also still pausing in the region of the trend mean, but on this occasion it's above it, but still below the 24,000 level, which has offered resistance for the last 2.5 years. When we then think about the Australian market, Australia had been very resilient in terms of its dealing with the coronavirus, now dealing with a significant outbreak in Victoria. But it's another index which is right in the region of the trend mean. So what we can definitely see evidence of is investors pausing at psychological levels, whether it is $2 trillion on Apple, $2,000 for Tesla, for example, or the region of the 200-day moving average for a significant number of indices. This is a clear trend. We've seen examples in the precious metal markets where we get accelerations giving way to periods of more rangy activity. We haven't really seen it yet in some of the big momentum moves, but it's worth considering that some of those big momentum moves have been predicated on very low interest rates. And if we are going to see bond yields rising and some support coming through for the dollar just in the very short term, then that could contribute to some additional pause and consolidation on stock markets. So it is a time to be vigilant and to pay attention to markets, because clear downward dynamics, particularly on the big large cap companies, would have a knock-on effect for the wider market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.